We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Mall.
Welcome into another 3Mall pod, and we are here today to talk K-State women's basketball as they tip off Friday in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, and we've got the perfect guest to do it as we're joined once again by longtime color analyst Missy Heidrich. Missy also serves as a columnist and podcast host for The Next, a website dedicated to college, international, and WNBA basketball. And Missy, we were just talking off air. You've got a lot of different things you're working on, columns, podcasts, etc., when it comes to the women's NCAA tournament and getting people prepped for it. So I'll turn it over to you to tell people where they can find your work and what you've got cooking there.
Well, it is a busy time, no doubt about it. The best part about being part of The Next is that we have people covered from coast to coast, north to south. And so you can see us at thenexthoops.com. I actually just finished my Albany 2 regional preview last night. It'll drop sometime today. Tomorrow, my weekly column, which is called the Weekly Fast Break, will also drop there. And that'll highlight a lot of different storylines and different pieces of what's ahead in the NCAA tournament. And then yesterday, if you are a podcast listener or watcher, you can find us at Lockdown Women's Basketball. We're part of the Lockdown Network. And I did a full Field of 68 preview, kind of run around the country, some of the storylines, hit the highlights of the top seeds. So you will find all sorts of information. We can get you ready. And I always tell people, fill out your first bracket in pencil. Don't do it with your heart. And then you have to go back and then you do it with your head, because then that's really the one that's going to matter.
Well, have you filled out a bracket yet?
I have not. I have a hard time looking at it. Mine has all sorts of marks. It has circles and little, this. And I'm not there yet. I think actually I'll be very interested to see the first two play-in games on the women's side are tonight, just as the play-in games start in Dayton for the men's tournament. So I'm interested to see what happens today and tomorrow. But the real action starts this weekend. And I think we're in for a really, really great treat for this 2024 women's NCAA tournament.
Well, Missy, I think you're actually at a slight disadvantage in filling out a bracket because you probably know too much.
Yes.
It feels like, at least from my experience, when not that I'm an expert by any means, but I watch a ton of college basketball and feel like I know every team. And then it's the people that don't watch a ton that usually get it more accurate.
100%. And so you overanalyze, you know, so you're looking at these matchups. And I'm thinking, well, think about what Nebraska did. And, you know, they ran themselves all the way to the Big Ten tournament and lose to Iowa on the women's side. Well, then they match up with Texas A&M in a they're in the 6-11 game. Like, well, those are toss-ups, you know, and I say those are hard. I think 6-11s, 5-12s, 8-9, some of the hardest to pick. And you know there's going to be an upset. There's going to be a Cinderella somewhere. It's just really hard to figure out who that's going to be.
Yeah. I always overthink it. It's a way at me. Before we dive too deep into this, you also want to tell you, as always, about our friends at Holiday Distillery. Whether it's bourbon or vodka, that's your flavor. Holiday Distillery has you covered. Go pick up a bottle of Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon or 360 Vodka as you get set for the men's and women's NCAA tournaments later this week and this weekend. All right. to set the table for everyone here, the top 16 teams in the women's NCAA tournament get to host the first and second rounds, meaning if you're a top four seed in your region, you host. K-State received a four seed, so they'll have a major home court advantage to potentially get to the Sweet 16 as they're 15-1 at home this season. The Wildcats will tip off Friday against 13 seed Portland in Bramlage Coliseum at 3:30 p.m., and it looks like K-State's actually tracking towards selling out the Friday and potentially Sunday game if they win. By the time you're listening to this, it might be sold out. So go ahead and get your tickets if you haven't yet. You'll want to move quickly on that. And then if K-State wins, they will play the winner of 5-seed Colorado and 12-seeded Drake. Missy, I want to get your initial reaction from when you were watching the selection show on Sunday. South Carolina was obviously the number one overall seed. Their bracket was the first one that was revealed. And when I saw Indiana appear as the 4-seed in that region and saw OU as the 5 in that region, I felt pretty darn good that K-State was going to get a 4 in another region due to how the S-curve works. And I also kind of felt a sense of relief that not only would K-State host, but they'd avoid South Carolina's region, and the number one seed in their region is Iowa, a team that K-State's played twice. They've knocked them off before. What was your initial takeaway Sunday when the bracket was revealed?
Well, you know, I kind of thought it went by what we thought it would. There were some things and some teams that, you know, were not in the bracket. An ACC team, Miami, was in there. Mississippi State was not in there. You know, you had a couple quote-unquote bracket busters because you had the upset of Portland beating Gonzaga. So that becomes a two-bid league. The Ivy League this year for the first time ever became a two-bid league with Columbia getting in. They're in a play-in game. But still, those were some surprises. So it left some people on the outside looking in. I still, even up until the point of when Kansas State was popped up on the screen as a 4, I did not think they were going to host. And here was my reasoning why. I thought Indiana was going to be in a solid 4. I thought with Oklahoma losing the way that they did to Iowa State at the Big 12 tournament, that that was going to take them out of the mix and move them to a 5. That puts them probably at a very strong 5, but they were going to be there. I think the other piece of that, because of the movement and the season Colorado had had, I thought they still were going to be that last 4. I thought that was going to be them, but it switched. And so Kansas State in at the 4 and Colorado at the 5. Obviously, that's where everybody wants to be. There was some movement late. Notre Dame gets themselves a 2-seed. If you go back to those first reveals in the 16s, they weren't in that mix the second time around, but they played themselves into it because they won an ACC tournament title. So they get the 2-seed on the side with South Carolina. I think Texas was a surprise at a 1. There was a lot of people that were like, wait a minute, what happened? If you go back and listen to what the committee said post-selection, the reason why Texas moved into the 1 was because of how they played over their last 8 games. They were 9-1. Stanford was 8-2, and they lost in their Pac-12 tournament. It was Texas who very handily wins themselves a Big 12 title, their second in 3 years. So I think Texas was a bit of a surprise at a 1. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot when you get into the nuts and bolts of it. Obviously, you're looking at some of those tough 8-9 games, and I think those are always interesting. But the hardest thing, and it's different on the women's side than the men's side, and I said this yesterday on my podcast, and I kind of believe it. I think that 8-9 game is awesome, and they're always great games. But it's sort of like NCAA tournament purgatory, because you win an 8-9 game, and they say, oh, congratulations, but now you get to play the number one seed in your region on their home floor. And that is not an easy thing to do. So I think where Kansas State sits, you have to be incredibly pleased on the fact that they bounce themselves into that 4, that they're going to give themselves a chance to have that home court advantage. I think they probably have a very bad taste in their mouth of how their season ended at home at Bramlage with the loss to Iowa State. And this is their chance for a bit of redemption.
Let's talk about the Albany 2 region, because you get Iowa as, you know, obviously the 1 seed, and you know you can compete with them. They beat them once in Iowa City, and they were right there in the tournament that they played and in the non-con as well against the Hawkeyes. But while there was a sense of relief for me that they're hosting and they're not in South Carolina's region, I also heard Rebecca Lobo talking on ESPN just how tough the Albany 2 region is, because you've got a UCLA team as the 2 seed who she thinks could make the, you know, national championship. You've got LSU who was a three seed, and they were the preseason number one ranked team in the country. And then obviously Kansas State, who's knocked off Iowa before. K-State's been highly successful in a Colorado team that was ranked in the top five or six just a month ago before they lost six of their last eight games down the stretch. There's a ton of talent. I mean, is this the best region in the field?
Well, I think it is. Here, I'll give you the numbers. You've got 10 ranked teams. So what happens when you blend 10 ranked teams, two Final Four participants from a year ago, a couple underdogs who got automatic bids by winning their conference tournaments, and the 2023 national champions? That's everybody in Albany, too. So it is packed. And I really do think it's probably the toughest of all of them, which makes it a difficult road. I mean, but that's what tournament time is all about. It doesn't matter if you win by one or 21. You just have to survive in advance. You mentioned UCLA. I am bullish on the Bruins, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. They've got experience in their backcourt with Charisma Osborne, Kiki Rice, one of the best sophomores in the country. London Jones, another sophomore, comes in off the bench. She gives them great depth, as well as she's been a really good shooter down the stretch. She made seven threes in their win against Utah late in February. And then they've got Lauren Betts inside, and that's 6'7" in the middle. And, you know, there's been a lot of conversations. She draws a ton of attention on and off the floor. She missed some games this year for, they didn't really come out and say it, but more or less, I think, some mental health scenarios within her own space. But the thing about Lauren Betts people don't necessarily know is she was the number one recruit in the nation out of the class of 2022. She went to Stanford. She's going to go play for Tar Vanderbilt. She doesn't get a ton of time because she's playing behind Cameron Brink, who is one of the very best in the nation. And so she went into the portal and she found a place that she could go. UCLA was going to be an outstanding place for her to land. She's had great success there, but she's just a sophomore with not a ton of experience. And so this is really going to be her first true go in the NCAA tournament. Stanford was bounced last year, if everyone remembers, by Ole Miss. And they were bounced in the second round. So they didn't even make it to the Sweet 16. So this is going to be a big stage for Lauren Betts, but she's incredibly talented, a different type of post player than Ioka Lee at that size. She does different things on the floor, but she's really good. And I like UCLA.
I was going to ask you, just on the topic of UCLA, Colorado, because they're both in the Albany, too, with Kansas State in that region. You look at the Pac-12, six Pac-12 teams ranked in the top 17 of the final net ranking, Stanford at 4, UCLA 6, USC 10th, Utah 11, Colorado was 16, K-State was actually 15, just right ahead of them, and Oregon State, a team that actually knocked off Colorado all three times this year, is ranked 17th in the net. Yeah. Is the Pac-12 by far and away the deepest, best conference in the country this year?
You know, it's been a conversation amongst so many all season long. And I really do think, I think they've just been so good top to bottom. And there, when you think about the players that are in there, the coaches that are in there, what's been at stake, that this has been the last year. I mean, they've turned out the lights now on Pac-12 basketball, as we all know it, on men in men's and women's. It doesn't exist as we have known it and will ever know it again. So I think this has been an incredibly deep Pac-12. I think they've beat up on each other, and we can talk about Colorado as we move through this. But I do think just the depth of the league, when you think about Stanford, think about Utah. This is a Utah squad. They were two free throws away from making a Final Four a year ago, pretty much bring back everybody that they had, including the Pac-12 player of the year last year in Alicia Pilley. And then they lose one of their best players to injury out for the year with a broken foot. Well, now all of a sudden, everyone just counts Utah out, but you can't, because I think they're incredibly good and they will beat somebody in this tournament that someone in it will be unexpected. So I just think that there's a lot of really good teams, really good players, and they're balanced. That's one thing you find in most of these Pac-12 squads, balance. And that doesn't happen with everybody, and it hasn't happened in the Big 12. And I think that's one thing people are going to have to contend with.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a lot more basketball, and specifically the K-State matchups in the Albany 2 region with Portland, and then obviously potentially Colorado or 12-seeded Drake in the second round. But first, we have to tell you, as always, about our friends at Homefield Apparel, who just launched another K-State drop on their website just a couple weeks ago with another 12 new K-State items. And now have over 50 K-State items on their website. They dropped several hats as well that are really cool. Retro logos, retro gear. There's a shooting shirt, warm-up shirt. they have as well with retro logos on it back from, I think, K-State in the 70s, K-State Hoops. So go check them out. Awesome, awesome drop. And they've got tons of K-State apparel on their website. We've got you covered with discount code 3MAW23. You can score 15% off when you go to check out with discount code 3MAW23. Go to homefieldapparel.com and support them as they support us on 3MAW. We'll be back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
All right, before we continue on, we have to also tell you this episode of 3MAW is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code KCSN for 20% off plus free shipping. Quite a deal there. Like I mentioned yesterday on 3MAW when we did our show with John and DY, that Manscaped, I can remember when they appeared on Shark Tank, and man, they have blown up and they are a very, very popular business and are doing great work. So go to manscaped.com, score 20% off and get free shipping with the code KCSN. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next gen skin safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features a dual LED spotlight to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. I actually got mine out last night and was playing around with it, got it charged up, and the light on it is super handy. The light that lights up, you can use it to shave out of your face as well, it's waterproof as well. So if you want to shave in the shower, the bath, it is waterproof. Or as Manscaped says, you can even shave in the ocean. It comes with a compact case. You can take it everywhere you go. So go to manscaped.com. Outstanding folks over there. Outstanding company. Score 20% off with free shipping with discount code KCSN.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Missy, before we talk specifically about Portland, where do you think this K-State team is at right now? You know, they make it to the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. I think the last time we talked, they had just won at Baylor, and things were feeling pretty darn good. And then they eventually got Ioka Lee back, but they've had some struggles down the stretch. There's no hiding that. Where do you view this team and where they're at right now? And do you think they can get back on track and play the way they were earlier in the season?
Well, I think a few weeks ago, you know, that was when I thought that this K-State team had played themselves out of hosting for the NCAA tournament with the loss at home to Iowa State, and who was unranked, and then losing at Kansas to another unranked team, that I thought kind of did it there. I think they rebounded, went to Texas Tech. That was should have been a win no matter what. It's a road win, so you've got to take it where you can get it. And they got themselves a double bye, which was huge in the Big 12 tournament. They had two very tough games with West Virginia, one towards the end of the year that went into overtime that they were able to win. And then almost, you know, put themselves in a hole early against West Virginia in Kansas City, got back in the game. The Mountaineers could have tied it on a three from the corner from J.J. Quinterly, couldn't get it to go, and they advanced. And then they did exactly the same thing against Texas, put themselves in a hole. And you spend so much time and energy trying to get out of that. And so when you are down and when you're playing teams and they're bringing pressure, and it might be three-quarter court, it could be in the half court, and just how intense the defensive effort is from a team like Texas and how they just swallow you up, you exert so much energy. And I think that's what happened in that game most specifically for me, is you had Ioka Lee dominant early. She was able to keep them in the game, but they just spent so much time and energy getting out of the hole. With that said, what I'm looking for Friday in how this team comes out is how they respond in probably the first 7 minutes of that first quarter. How do you put yourself in a position to control this game from the get-go? They cannot play from behind. You cannot play coming out of a hole. You have got to bring some pressure. This team hung their hat on their defense earlier in the year and throughout most of the Big 12 season. But I do think that there was some letdown, whether that was they just weren't as aggressive, that other teams were getting more creative. We know that happens in conference play. Teams play each other. Everybody sees the scout. They're going to come up with a scheme and a game plan. You've got to be able to react. I think this team's got to be more nimble in terms of reaction, being able to make adjustments on the fly. And they have got to start this first game right out of the gate in the first round strong. Otherwise, it's just too much trying to get out of those holes and fight and claw your way. You may have to grind it out, but you don't want to grind it out from behind.
It's interesting when you look at this. So Ioka Lee, we know she was banged up and went through the ankle surgery and then battled a sprained ankle as well. And one of the things I'm trying to figure out for this team, and I know most teams are going through this, is K-State's gotten a ton of rest over the last few weeks now. Like, if you look at from when the regular season ended, I mean, they've essentially played two games in 19 days. Mm-hmm. And their last game was on March 11th, the Monday before against Texas. So they tip off against Portland on March 22nd. You think about basically 10, 11 days without a game. Is that a benefit when you look specifically at this team to get them healthy, get them rested up? Or can it be a detriment with rust setting in and not playing a game in that long of a time period?
I think it's a great question, and I think it's a double-edged sword, and it's every team is going to be different. I think for Kansas State, it's important for them to have gotten that. Jeff Mitty said, you know, in the post games at the Big 12 tournament, he felt like Lee was getting close to feeling 100%. Hopefully this time will allow for that. And then to get the reps that she needs in practice so that they can start to implement. You got to put in some new wrinkles. You've got that amount of time, that space from when the season ended to when you know who you're playing, as well as then the lead up into the NCAA tournament games. You've got to have some new wrinkles. They've got to put some things in that nobody has seen on, you know, on the scouts, and that they haven't seen on the videos that they've all cut off the internet. So that time to be able to get her in the reps, to get her in the practice gym, to have that comfort level. And I think for some of these players as well, who maybe felt like they weren't shooting the basketball great down the stretch, or just were, you know, feeling a little bit on the struggle bus, you take a couple days, you get back in the gym, you go back to the fundamentals, and that's okay. You need, when you got the time, you take it, and then you've got to get yourself prepared. And there's a point now, and I would assume it probably was, I would think, Friday or Saturday of last week prior to Selection Sunday, we're talking about who we're playing. We're talking about dialing in on Kansas State. We've got to take care of our own business. Everything else we will be able to prepare for. But if this team isn't prepared and dialed in on their own stuff, some of that stuff, the other pieces won't matter.
When you mentioned throwing some new wrinkles, I mean, if you were Jeff Mitty, what do you think they need to do better? And what would you like to see from them and adjustments made?
I think there's got to be more screening action. I think they've got to be able to take Lee and move her more around the floor. What they have done over the course of the last month, and part of this could have been her limitation because of the ankle, but everything was deep to the post, let her pin, and then we're either going to try to throw it over or we're going to try to feed. Now, if you go back and watch some of those films, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas, what did they do? Double teams, big help defense from behind. I saw two dozen tipped entry passes trying to lob over the defense. So if you can't put it point blank on her hands, don't throw it. And if there's someone behind her, don't throw it. Those were live ball turnovers that all of those teams took advantage of. So I think there's got to be more screening action. I'd love to see bringing her up a little high, maybe run her off some high ball screens. And what that does is that moves whoever is guarding her out of the lane. That's what teams do to K-State. They make their bigs come and set high ball screens. It takes Ioka Lee out of the middle of the floor, or now she's at the free throw line and she's trailing in help defense instead of automatically there as a rim stopper. So I would love to see some more action. I'd love to see more screening action, cross action with the guards. I think these wings get stagnant. I think they wait. I think they just want the ball and then they're going to go. I love somebody that can catch and get to the rim, but that can't be your only action. They've got to be able to get some of these shooters off screens, off movement, and not standing. Because when this team stands and they just try to throw it into the post, it hasn't been good results.
Yeah, it does drive me a little crazy sometimes trying to watch them throw it over the top with those double post entries.
You and me both, my friend.
Because it's not typically, you know, what you're going to see. It's just such a hard pass to make, and you're depending on Ioka Lee to make a tremendously difficult catch. And look, she's supremely talented, and she's one player, a rarity, that can make that catch and finish. But
I'll give you one of the technical pieces of that is that what she does, and one of the reasons why she's so difficult to guard and to prepare for other teams, is her ability to get deep and pin and post. But that's also part of that entry pass problem, is she is so deep and she has pinned people so low on the lane. So there is no room. It has to be perfect. If you're going to throw a lob pass or you're going to lead her back into the middle of the lane, one thing they haven't done much is let her turn into the lane, maybe turn into where there's others traffic, draw some fouls, go in the other direction. It doesn't always have to be going baseline. So I think you've got to see some different looks and wrinkles. And you've got to get these guards to be able to be a little bit more patient. Just because she's posted doesn't mean you necessarily got to give it to her right then and there.
So let's talk Portland. Wildcats play Friday in the first round. Portland received the automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament by winning the West Coast Conference tournament, where they defeated Gonzaga, who was 30-2 coming into that game and also a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. Portland's 21-12 overall. They had a stretch where they won 9 of 10 games in early January to mid-February before they lost 4 in a row and then ended the season on a 4-game winning streak. And Missy, what's remarkable about them is they lost the 2 regular season matchups against Gonzaga by 50 points and 21 points, but then they turn around and knock off the Zags by 1 in the conference tournament. And I know that's a Gonzaga team you think highly of. What are your thoughts on how the Wildcats match up Friday against Portland?
Well, one of the ways of which this Portland squad was able to beat Gonzaga in that West Coast Conference title game in the tournament was they had 21 assists on 26 field goals. So this is a team that's going to share, and they're efficient, and they're going to wait, and they're going to go from good shot to a great shot. And they were able to do that, and that patience paid off against Gonzaga. So they are one of those leagues. They're bid stealers out of the WCC. It doesn't happen very often, but this is not a Portland program that is new to success. This is their third time in 5 years, second time in a row that they've won the WCC championship. Michael Meek took over this program in 2019. They were headed to the NCAA tournament when they had won the WCC tourney in 2020, but then COVID hit and they did not get there. I think they've got balance. They're not, you know, they have some size. They're not overly huge. You're going to see some different looks. I think that's where Kansas State is going to have the advantage, is inside, obviously, and you're going to have to be ready for some different looks and schemes. They're going to probably bring some junk defense. They've only been giving up about 61 points a game on the season. So this is a team that's prided itself on their defense as well. They're causing close to 20 turnovers, so you're going to see pressure, and it might not necessarily be full court. It could just be very active in the half court, whether they're going to jump ball screens or they're going to bring those double teams in the post, or they're going to pressure you out on the perimeter. You're going to have to take care of the basketball. I think they with not a ton of size, one of the areas that Kansas State can look to dominate is on the glass. They've been in the negative. Portland has been in the negative all year in that rebounding margin number. With that said, get yourself some second chance opportunities, whether they're easy putbacks or extends possessions, and it forces Portland to have to guard you yet again.
So then as we look ahead to Sunday, potentially, Missy, let's assume the best here and the Kansas State knocks off Portland and advances to the second round. I guess first, before we dive into the opponent potentially Sunday, I mean, what do you make of the Drake Colorado game on Friday? Drake's 29-5. They went 19-1 in the Missouri Valley. Colorado, as I mentioned earlier, was ranked in the top 10 in the country or earlier this season. Extremely talented team. What do you make of that matchup? And is there any possibility that K-State potentially could face Drake and not Colorado?
Well, I think there is, no doubt, because as we were just saying earlier, I think 5-12 games are really tough, and that's where you're always going to see some upsets. But this is a Drake squad. They are going to come in. They won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament title on a buzzer beater over Missouri State. That's the reason why they're in. They did win the regular season Missouri Valley title, but they would not have been a two-bid league. So if they don't get that buzzer beater on a layup late on a great out-of-bounds play, if you haven't seen it, you can see it on Twitter. I'm sure it's on ESPN somewhere in a highlight. They're not in this tournament. That would have been Missouri State. So hats off to them. They got the bucket they needed and they get there. They're going to see two very different styles. It's going to be quiet. It's going to be fast and athletic and big when you play Colorado. Drake's going to be a little bit more methodical, very efficient on offense. How those two match up, I think the nod goes to Colorado just because of their size and their speed. But this is also an experienced Drake squad, and they've been able to march their way through the Missouri Valley, which is not an easy mid-major league.
So let's break down. Let's assume that it's more than likely it's going to be K-State and Colorado on Sunday in Bramlage Coliseum. You already talked a little bit about Colorado,
yeah,
but maybe expand on just how good this team is. Again, they lost 6 of 8 down the stretch, but at one point they were 20-3. On the season. They'd knocked off some of the best teams in college basketball, and we talked about how good the Pac-12 is earlier, and there's a reason why I highlighted it because of that. So maybe you could expand on just the matchup against Colorado and what makes them so good, and what are the keys to the game.
Well, I think you have to go back to the very first game of the regular season in college basketball, all the way back. I think it was Monday, November 6th, and this is a Colorado squad just very quietly jumped onto the national landscape because they were able to beat LSU in Las Vegas. And they handled LSU at the time, who was ranked number one. They won that game 92-78. And I think it was a great launching pad for this Colorado squad. J.R. Payne, who is the head coach at Colorado, I think she's done a magnificent job in rebuilding this program. If you go, for those of us that are old, Colorado was a stalwart in the Big 8 and early years of the Big 12. And then the program sort of just dropped off. They tried to find sort of the next version of Seal Berry, who had been the longtime head coach there, didn't really work. And they went to J.R. Payne. She had been at Santa Clara having great success there. And they said, we're going to give you the keys here and see what you can do. And it has not been an easy task. And when you're in the Pac-12 going up against teams like Stanford and Arizona and Oregon and Oregon State over the last few years, that's a tough mountain to climb, but they've really done it. They were in the Sweet 16 a year ago. They got a taste of it. As I said, size, speed, and length. I think that's what you have to do. And they are going to go at you. and they want to get out and run and they want to generate offense with their defense. Live ball turnovers are a killer against Colorado. You've got to take care of the basketball, but they can also extend the defense. And I think one thing about this Buffalo squad is that they're just experienced. You think about players like Kwai Miller. She's a senior, 6'3" in the middle. She's fantastic. Ernut Vanhele, who's a junior. She's their leading scorer this year. I'm a huge fan of Jalen Sherrod, the 5'7" guard. She's a senior as well. It's just balance. And you kind of bring one player in and then another one comes off the bench and they just don't necessarily miss a beat. They've got a player, Maddie Nolan, who is a fifth year. She's a fifth year. She was a grad transfer, came from Michigan. Was on an Elite Eight team at Michigan in 2022. So this is experience. They know how to get it done. And I have a feeling they're probably a little miffed about not being the four seed and getting to host at home. They've grown and kind of regrown the energy and the enthusiasm and excitement around women's basketball at CU. They don't get to play at home. So I have a feeling they may have a bit of a chip on their shoulder coming into Manhattan.
Is there an individual matchup that you're looking forward to watching the most or maybe view as the biggest key to the game?
I think it would be the guard play if these two teams do play. And I would love to see Jalen Sherrod and Serena Sundell go at it out front because it's kind of two different types of games. Sherrod is a playmaker. She's going to put it on the floor. She's going to go. She can distribute. She can score for herself. She's going to find open shooters. They've got them. And then you've got Sundell, who's very high basketball IQ, who really is kind of a little bit more efficient and methodical in what she does. But when she needs to explode and go and be assertive, she can do that. And that's what's made her a first team all conference player. Someone asked me what the difference was from last year to this year as it relates to Serena Sundell. And I will say she has gone from being a good facilitator to a great facilitator. But it's the assertive scorer and it's the assertive playmaker that has been the difference. And that's why I think she earned her way on to that first team all Big 12. So I'd love to see that guard matchup if we get it on Sunday.
Colorado 23rd in field goal percentage offense, shooting 46% from the year, 28th in the country in three-point offense at 36%. They're 67th nationally with a plus 4.6 rebound margin, 13th in assist to turnover ratio, just a few numbers on the Buffaloes, and they're also 11-6 in road and neutral court games this year. So they are not going to be intimidated by what should be an electric atmosphere, though, in Bramlage Coliseum. Missy, K-State has, we talked about earlier, Texas got the surprise one seed in the NCAA tournament. K-State played Texas three times. They beat them once. They were right there. They were ahead by one in the last minute and a half of the game in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. They beat Iowa. Another one seed. They played them again. I mean, Kansas State has played five games against two number one seeds in this NCAA tournament. They're battle tested. I mean, what is that? What can that do for your mindset going into a tournament like this? That, hey, we've been right there against two of the top four teams and what the committee views of the country. We can beat anybody in this field.
I think that's absolutely the mindset that you have to have is that you have to know that we've been in those games, that we've given ourselves a chance. That you went into a hostile environment. Granted, it was back in November when everything and everybody was just still kind of trying to figure out who they were and what they did. But when you go in November and you go to Iowa City in front of a packed crowd and you're able to neutralize to the best of your ability Caitlin Clark and get yourself a win, that puts you on the map. And then they only lost to him by seven when they played him on a neutral court. I just think this team, as they have rode the ebbs and flows of the season, with Ayoka Lee in the lineup and without having her in the lineup when she's not 100%, but being challenged all throughout the Big 12 season, I think was critical. And those were games that they had to figure out a way to win. Some of them were not pretty. They grinded them out. You go back to the Oklahoma State win at home, and that was, you know, OSU had a chance to tie it or maybe to go ahead, couldn't get it to go. You get it at the buzzer. You have to go to overtime against West Virginia. Double overtime loss with Ayoka Lee at Iowa State, and then you lose to Iowa State at home. So there's just been the challenges that I think have brought this team and given them maybe hopefully a bit of confidence, not only when you think of it from the national standpoint of the teams that they faced. You know, North Carolina, they get in and they're going to be playing Michigan State in that 8-9 game in South Carolina's regional, and I'm love Michigan State. I love what Robin Fralick has done there in her first season. I think that's going to be a really tough win for North Carolina if they can get it. But that would be a boost. There's another one, another game of which Kansas State was able to get a top 25 team at the time. So I just think that a confidence is a huge piece of this, and you have to really dig deep. And I think it goes back to what I said earlier in terms of the mindset and maybe the psyche of where this group is, how they played down the stretch. I think the first 7 minutes on Friday could be the most important, are going to be the most important 7 minutes of the season. How does this team respond? How do they come out? And what do they look like? That will tell me a lot as to where their mindset has been in preparation for this. And if it's been business and dialed in, then I think you have a lot going for them, and they'll be in a really good position.
I meant to ask you this off air. Will you be on the call with Brian Smoller on the radio broadcast this weekend?
No, I will not. I'm actually headed over to Manhattan, though. So part of is another, one of those other things I do for the next. So I will be covering this first and second round pot of games for the next, and doing game stories and storylines and that kind of thing. So you'll not hear me on the radio or the television, but you will see me there working. And then for all those, we'll be doing I'll have a podcast next Monday at Lockdown Women's Basketball, and that'll review all across the country the games and what lies ahead for. We'll be ready to be talking about Sweet 16 matchups a week from now.
I had to ask you because I know you got a really busy schedule and a lot of different things that you got going on.
I will be there in person. I'll just be on my computer. I'll be typing like all the rest of everything else.
Is there a game in the opening round of the tournament that maybe you've circled as something you're really eager and excited to watch?
Well, I will tell you, I am very intrigued by that West Virginia-Princeton game, because I've always thought West Virginia is one of those X-factor squads. That's in the Albany 2 regional as well. And then the winner of that game would most likely get Iowa in the second round. And I think that they would be a very tough matchup for Iowa. Two teams that will guard you and will make your life miserable for 40 minutes. I also am keeping my eye on the 5-12 game over in the Portland 4, which is Utah and South Dakota State. Have had a chance to call games and be around South Dakota State quite a few times this year. They lost 4 players due to injury, 2 of them which would have been first team all conference players. Didn't even have them for the entire year. They went undefeated in the Summit League, ran through the Summit League tournament to win it again. And I think this is a really good squad. They're limited, short bench, but I really like the Jackrabbits. I think Utah has their hands full. I told you earlier that North Carolina-Michigan State game, really interested to see what Michigan State can do if they can knock off North Carolina. And then the other team that we have to talk about, and they are starting to get more and more national attention, is Fairfield. And Fairfield has the second longest winning streak in the nation, right behind South Carolina. And that Fairfield team, and I believe if I do my math right, I always forget where they are. I think they are over in, there they are. They are in the four, they are at Indiana. They are the 4-13 game. Fairfield is 31-1, and they have the longest winning streak right behind South Carolina. They won themselves a MAC regular season and a MAC tournament title, and I really do like the Stag. So I think Indiana might have their hands full. They've got one of the best freshmen in the nation. Her name is Megan Anderson. The only freshman, here's a little tidbit for you, Cole. I am full of all sorts of useless information. The only freshman in the nation and the first one ever to be a finalist for the Becky Hammon Mid-Major Player of the Year Award, Megan Anderson at Fairfield. So there's your new tidbit for today.
I'm going to look smart when I'm talking to everybody else, but I just pick tidbits that you give me, Missy. It's actually, there's something to be said about teams that are used to winning, even regardless of the conference or where they're at. Those teams scare me in March. Yeah. Teams that don't lose, like, FAU last year in the men's tournament, 35-3 coming in. Teams that have that culture.
Yes.
They're scary teams to play in March, regardless of the power level that they're at, if they're a low major, mid major, et cetera. And I like the West Virginia. So I was pulling up the bracket because I had missed that. I'd like to see West Virginia beat Princeton, because having watched K-State play West Virginia and Quinterly and some of the talent that they have, I'd love to watch how they match up against that Iowa team.
Yeah.
And,
sure. No, I, hate. I think it would be really interesting. And I think that you would see, I think Mark Kellogg has done a fantastic job in his first season at West Virginia. And I think if they do get by Princeton and advance and play Iowa, I think you would see some interesting kind of game planning and schemes, maybe, you know, a little junk here or there. And that full court pressure can be really tough to deal with. And sometimes that can exhaust you. And also Iowa, just for everybody knows, they are still question mark of whether or not one of their main guards, Molly Davis, is going to be available to them. She hurt her knee late in the regular season. I think their final home game, which was senior day, she did not play in the Big Ten tournament. So her health is still questionable. And that really adds a layer to what Iowa can do in terms of handling pressure and what they need in the backcourt.
I gotta be honest. I mean, West Virginia feels a little underseeded to me as an eight.
Yeah, I think they could have been, you know, but they did struggle down the stretch. And I think that's one of the things for them. And that's probably why they ended up in that eight. I think they could be one of the tougher eights out there. They were 4-4 over their last eight games. One of those was the overtime loss to K-State in Manhattan and then the heartbreaker in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. But that's what happens in March. People are going to be underseeded. There aren't enough 5 and 6 lines for everybody. Iowa State played themselves into a 7, which is hats off to them with the youth that they have coming out of the Big 12, what they are able to do, getting themselves to the finals of the Big 12 tournament. They destroyed Oklahoma in that semifinal matchup and they earn that 7 seed. They get Maryland and then they are out in the pod with Stanford and Palo Alto.
Well, you haven't filled out a bracket, but I'll ask you, do you have in your mind a makeup of who will be in the Final Four?
Well, I think for me, South Carolina marches on and they just are so good and so talented. Yes, they were pushed a little bit in the SEC tournament, but I think it's really hard and Dawn Staley gets her team ready to play. South Carolina is in the Final Four for me. If I look at that other bracket, I really do like Stanford. I think that in Portland, them matching up against Texas, I think Stanford would have a bit of an advantage there. And I think they got a chip on their shoulder being the 2. They're fine with that. They wanted to go to Portland. That will be huge for them. I like them coming out of that Portland 4. If I look at Portland 3, I think it's going to be a much more competitive regional. I do like USC, but I'm not 100% convinced that they might be Final Four material. Ohio State has been really good. And if I look at Albany, too, I think there's some very interesting matchups. But right now, I'm leaning towards UCLA being the team that comes out of there.
Missy, you're not going to go complete homer for us and just put K-State in the Final Four?
There yet. Again, I always tell you, again, pick with your heart, and then you have to use your head a little bit. My heart says 1. But then on the other side, I'm thinking, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. So I'm trying to put, again, this sucker's blank. It has not been filled out yet. So there we go. I'm going to stick to that.
Well, hey, I appreciate it as always. You jumping on with us. You're the best when it comes to breaking down college women's basketball and really enjoy our conversations. And hopefully Kansas State wins these next couple of games, advances to Sweet 16, and we'll get back together next week and preview a whole nother slew of games with potentially K-State against Iowa, et cetera. We'll see where that takes us, but would love for that to occur, and then maybe we'll jump back on together and break things down. But go check out Missy's work at The Next and all the great stuff she does for women's basketball. She's the best. So, Missy, appreciate it, and appreciate all of our sponsors, Home Field Apparel and Holiday Distillery, et cetera. So go support them as well as they support us on 3MAW. Thanks all for listening to another episode of 3MAW.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.